Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Can you all tell me a really important holiday that's coming up? Yes, I'm so excited about Christmas, aren't you? I am so excited about Christmas because there are lots of pretty Christmas trees. And lots of sparkly garland. Sorry about that. One thing I really like about Christmas, though, are two things that I do at Christmas. I bake Christmas cookies. Do any of you bake Christmas cookies? Do you help your mom or grandma or dad? No? Well, I love to make Christmas cookies. And I have to show you some things. Let me see. They're in here somewhere. In my brown paper bag. Can somebody tell me what this one is? A snowman. We don't have many of those right now. But we will, except for the blow-up kinds. But there will be. I love making snowmen. And we have, ooh, what's this? A Christmas tree. Can you see? Can you see the candy canes on that tree? See, Reed? See those candy canes? Ooh, I love candy canes. They're the best Christmas candy there is. Oops. And we have, a different kind of Christmas tree. I have all sorts of. I couldn't bring all of my Christmas cookie cutters because there are just so many of them. Okay. Do you know who this is?
Santa.
Those who had trouble figuring that one out, I bet you can figure that one out right. That's Santa. We all know Santa. And I tell you, I love making Christmas cookies and decorating them. I'm not very good, but I still like to do it. And I have good memories of when I made Christmas cookies with my two daughters, who are all grown now and have children of their own. There's something else that I like to do at Christmas time, besides decorate and make cookies. Oops. Some of the adults know that I do this, but maybe you don't. I love to make Christmas stockings. And see how sparkly it is? That will look really pretty hanging up. And, of course, Christmas isn't Christmas without Santa Claus. Oh, what else do I have in here? There's a snowman. I have a snowman. And we're missing somebody. Who's that? What's special about that reindeer? He has a red nose, so what's his name? Do you remember? What? Rudolph. Yes, it's Rudolph. So he's special at Christmas time. But one of the stockings that I really like the most is this one. Can you tell me what this is? Number one, what's the big difference about this one and the other ones? This one's unfinished. See, it's open down here and not even all sewn together. And this is a shepherd boy, and he has no eyes and no mouth. He's just unfinished. But this, because this is one of my favorite ones, I'll tell you why. Because this is a shepherd who is searching. Who do you suppose the shepherd is searching? The one thing that we have missed with all the things we've shown about Christmas. God. And who else? Part of God. Well, maybe they don't understand that. Who was God's son? Who was born on Christmas? Jesus. The shepherd is searching for Jesus. And that's why he's missing. Jesus is missing from all of the stuff that we have here. The glitter, the sparkle, the sprinkles, the loud music, and all of the Christmas stockings. They're missing that one thing, the thing that we're searching for, the person that we're still searching for, Jesus. Can you say a little prayer with me? Dear God, during the busy, busy, loud season that is approaching us, let us remember why we are celebrating and who we are waiting for, the baby Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is from Exodus 32, verses 1 through 25, well, I'm sorry, 1 through 14, pages 97 and 98 in the Old Testament in your pew Bible. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on your ears, on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it into a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made the proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord." They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." This is the word of the Lord.
God is all powerful. God does mighty works. Yet it is so very easy for us to stray from God and worship other gods. Look at the Israelites. God had spared them when all of the firstborn were killed in Egypt. God guided them out of Egypt, even parting the Red Sea for them to cross. God gave them quail and manna, and about the best they could do was complain, "Is this the same meal we have to have again?" What's with those people? Why would people act that way? They had received the law, and it wasn't just the Ten Commandments. It told them what your sentence would be if you killed somebody and meant to, or if you killed somebody and didn't mean to, or I don't know. If you read 21 through 26, there's all kinds of laws. It's pretty legalistic. And they said, everything you have said, we will do. Everything you have said, we will do. So now, Moses is missing. Where did he go? They knew that he was probably up in the mountain. There'd been that big show where there was thunder and lightning, and they were told to not touch the foot of the mountain or they would die. And then 70 elders and Joshua and Moses went up and worshiped at a distance, and there was a cloud there, and the cloud covered the mountain. And then God called Moses into the cloud. He was gone for 40 days. Well, I get it. 40 days is a long time if you're stuck in the wilderness and you don't know where that guy is who was guiding you out. And yet, it's also a lot of time to consider what you've seen. But people have a short attention span, I guess. I know I do. I need to be shown, or I won't maybe believe. That's where they were. We need to be seeing, or we can't believe. And so they had to have something they could touch, something they could see. They probably couldn't touch it till it cooled off, but they had to be able to see their God. And so Aaron, of all people, Aaron got them to get their gold together and made a calf. I never have quite understood that part. And God was angry. Who can imagine that? After all God has done for these folks, and they've created a God. Well, there are several possibilities. First off, I wonder how steeped they really were in their religion after all of those years of being slaves. And of course, if you get taken out of the place that you've always called home and were comfortable, even in the worst of days, and are in the wilderness, maybe you would be a little skeptical. Although I'd have to admit that if I was Moses, and especially if I was God, I would be a little tired of their complaining and their not believing it's going to work. Oh, God's just brought us out here to die. What are we going to do? So God was angry, and Moses talked God out of destroying those people. And God had mercy. God has mercy all the time. Sometimes I don't even know if we're aware of it. Well, I think we all have idols, and sometimes we don't have Moses to stand in the way of God, and yet God has mercy. I think I had an idol. It was my hair. Now, don't get the wrong idea. I don't know that it was ever gorgeous or anything, but when I was a child, I had vision problems. No, I was blind, actually. I was blind, but I had glaucoma, and it hurt when people messed with my hair. And it was long, and they would put it up in braids, and they would comb the tangles out of it and yank it around, and I couldn't stand it. So they cut it all off, and then I was cut short, like kind of a boy. And we did that for a long, long time, and then I started getting permanence in it and practically destroyed it with permanence when it got long enough to have any. And it grew so fast that I had to get one of those every few months. And then some of you probably remember the part about teasing your hair where you grab it up by the ends and run a comb through it and make kind of knots in it and spray about a ton of hairspray on it. And pretty soon it started being a whole lot like straw. And every once in a while, I would touch somebody's hair accidentally in a crowded elevator and think, oh my goodness, I wish I had hair like that. Nice, soft hair. So, One day, I decided all the messing around with my hair was going to stop, and I didn't get any more permanents, and I didn't put any more hairspray in it. And then I decided I was going to let it grow. So I started letting it grow. My daughter hated it, I'd have to say. She said, "Mom, you don't look good in long hair. You're too old to wear it like that." And I said, "It's mine, and I'll wear it however I want to." Well, she didn't say much about it after that. And then in order to keep her calm and happy, I said, "I'm going to give it away." So I grew it and grew it and gave it away. And then I grew it and grew it and gave it away. And this last time I grew it and grew it, and it was time to give it away. And I kind of dreaded it because I liked it. I liked to make a ponytail with a big braid in the end of it. And it was awful fun to have my hair like that. I loved my hair. And so I went to get it cut. And I got there and I thought, "I don't know if I can do this. This lovely hair is going to be all gone. What am I going to do without it? Maybe I won't do it after all." And then she took the first snip. And I thought, "Oh, well, there's no turning back now." Well, I still haven't gotten over missing it. And yet, is that an idol? Is that kind of an idol, too? Was I actually worshiping my hair? I'd like to think I wasn't, but it really was a big deal. I gave it to Wigs for Kids. The first time I gave it to Locks of Love, and I used it as a Lenten discipline. The second time I just did it because I could. And I felt, the more I thought about it, I felt good about it. But I'm not sure God was in it. I'm not sure that it was any kind of selfless act at all. And I'm not sure that I did it lovingly either, because I kind of miss it. And that's been a month now since I gave it away, and I still kind of miss it. I can't say I grieve it a whole lot, because there's really not much point in that. It's gone. But it occurred to me that it's really easy to get attached to a thing. Hair. Cars. Money, clothes, maybe even other people. When I think of it that way, I have a little bit more compassion for those Israelites. I mean, I have a furnace, I can go in my house, I can cook dinner, I don't have to have manna and quail every day, although I have chicken almost every day, so that might be about the same thing. And I can do what I want. I can come and go pretty much as I want to. These folks were kind of stuck in the wilderness, and they had been doing some things that were making their life a little harder in that wilderness too. So I understand them, and yet, how do we stop doing that? We have to pray a lot, of course. But this is a season for Thanksgiving. I think all the whole year round is a season for Thanksgiving. But at this time of the year is when we are particularly mentioning it. You know, it comes up. Well, what are you grateful for? Gee, I don't know. I haven't thought about it for the last 11 months. So what am I grateful for? Well, I'm grateful for a lot of things. I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to have my hair, and I'm actually grateful that I had the opportunity to give it to somebody. And I would be grateful to have the opportunity to do it again, although I'm not sure I'm going to go there. I think it took 8 years to grow it this last time. I think it's got tired of growing and doesn't want to grow much, so that may be a ship that has sailed. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my friends and my family and my puppy. I always have to bring up my puppy. I won't say any more about him. And I'm grateful for my grandson, who became an Eagle Scout this fall and is going to graduate this spring and thinks he's amazing. And he probably is, but I'm not sure he's quite as amazing as he thinks he is, because he's going to have to figure out the world, and he's going to have to find a way not to have idols. Mostly himself right now. And he probably ought to be going to church. So I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to pray that someday he will really come to know Jesus. And I pray that I will have the courage to withhold myself from following idols. What are your idols? Do you let them take over your worship of God? Moses talked God out of destroying the people, and he did make a good point. You know, if you destroy them, Egypt will say, we just brought them out of the Egypt to kill them. I don't know whether you want that kind of a reputation, and I sure don't. I'm pretty sure he didn't put it like that. I mean, he was talking to God, right? But God did see his point. And Moses changed his mind, maybe. But God changed God's mind on his own because God is merciful. God loves us so much that he gave us his son, Jesus, the Messiah. That's a lot of love. The love that God has for us is palpable. And God can help us to not worship idols too. So what are your idols today? Think about it, pray about it, and pray that you will find a way to worship God more and more each day. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Good morning. My name is Paul Hayes, and I've been asked to provide an update on the status of our roof. You'll remember it was about 3 months ago that a narrow band of hail passed through this area, and we and our neighbors here were right in the middle of it. And it was large size hail, and it happened on a Friday, and Sunday we came to church and we knew, well, there was probably some damage, but you know, we'd have to get someone up there to inspect it. And so that next week we got a hold of the adjusters, and they were up there and they were crawling all over the roof with various other people. And then the next Sunday came and we came to church, and it was a rainy day. Yeah, there may have been several inches of rain before we got here. And boy, did we learn about the damage on that day. Rain back in Fellowship Hall was pouring through the ceiling. Back in the northern classrooms, water was pouring through the ceiling into the kitchen. And a group of us scattered throughout the church to find every trash can, container, bucket that we could find to collect the water. And it was at that moment that it occurred to me that in this church we were all sinners, but our ceiling was holy. My wife may not ride home with me today. But in any event, after several months of engaging with roofing contractors and adjusters and a forensic engineer that went all throughout the building to take picture after picture after picture of the damage, we determined and you remember all of the service master fans that were going to dry things out for weeks on end, there was a little over $250,000 of damage that was done to the ceiling of the church. Most of that was the ceiling, the roof, replacement of the roof, and right now we have a temporary roof in place. And while that temporary roof is there, we're a little reluctant to go through and replace all of the ceiling tiles, because if we do that before a permanent roof is installed, then we're responsible for any subsequent damage to those ceiling tiles. But one of the things that your property committee and session decided was, what do we need to do? We had one air conditioning unit, a small one, that was destroyed, and it was probably 30 years ago. But there were several other units up there that we determined were over 40 years old. Now ask yourself, what were you doing 40 years ago when these HVAC units were being installed on the roof of this church? Yeah, well, they've served their time, believe me. And So the property committee in session decided to replace those four units at a cost of about $27,000. Now, the good news about that is they didn't need to be replaced. They could run another few years. They were very inefficient compared to what you can get today. But because the church, the members here, have had the foresight to have a capital fund in place that members can contribute to each year as part of the stewardship campaign, we had the funds in reserve that were there that could be used to replace those old air conditioning units that had more than served their time and were ready to be replaced. And by doing it as part of the overall fixing of the roof and replacing some other units, we saved a few thousand dollars. But it was more important that it gave us an opportunity to say, hey, what do we need to do up on top there? 40 years from now, what will you be doing? Well, people that are here 40 years from now will be thankful that you replaced those air conditioning units now. So I just want to say that's the update. Things are on their way to being replaced. The damage has been controlled, and over the course of the next few months, we'll be replacing roofs, replacing ceiling tiles, and starting Monday, we'll be replacing the very old HVAC units that are on top of the roof. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.